talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
This is Talking About Practice. Appreciate y'all being here. Y'all know the drill. I'm your co-host, Ro Gilbert, alongside me, co-creator of the show.
Yo, it's good party, people.
There we go. You got it. All right. Rude Dog is out because he's a coward.
Couldn't face it, man.
Couldn't come in.
No, man. No.
Couldn't come in and let those tears be drank by the audience. He said, nope, I'm going to be selfish. Those tears are for me and for me only. I will not share those tears with the audience. So he is out. Ducking.
Probably a couple broken legs, too, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Ducking his bookie, in the gutter. Ducking the audience.
Make sure you put a couple of
eyes. I don't know if he was able to duck his bookie after that one.
Man. Yeah. And that is, of course, producer extraordinaire. If it's got wheels, he could drive it. Stepman, Brett.
Yeah.
That's very true, actually. Yeah. Got wheels, he can drive it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Legally.
Legally.
In the state of California, everybody's I can drive everything.
I guess technically not everything. Planes do have wheels, and you can't fly a plane yet.
Okay. Drive.
Yeah.
Drive, I guess.
Fly, I cannot.
I was talking more of terrestrial.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. I had to take it there. But yeah, sorry. Yeah. Off script. Gave you some time to breathe.
One day that pilot will, will come into play, but yes.
But no horses, though. Never a horse.
Never a horse. Again, not yet.
Never.
One day.
Never.
One day. It doesn't have wheels, does it?
No, you can't be on it.
Yeah.
You're not allowed.
But in the state of California, if it's got two wheels up to 18, you can drive it.
Yes.
Legally.
Can you ride a unicycle? Yes.
That one I actually have never done before.
So you don't need a license. Maybe.
Well, you don't need a license. No. That's true. But no. Like, you do need the talent.
Yes.
That's true.
I might be able to do that. I've got some decent balance, but I don't know if I
always thought people that unicycle are just kind of odd, so.
You've never seen a cool dude on a unicycle.
It's a weird thing to, like, want to. Let me ride one wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, that's a real look at me, Louie.
Hold up.
Yeah.
What about the guys on, like, the boards of the one wheel that, like,
You ever see him riding with their girlfriend? I didn't think so.
Not wrong.
You always see him mobbing solo. There is, shout out that one, there's one guy in Chico that mobs like 40 miles an hour on the curb, off the curb, dipping in and out of traffic.
And he's got like the whole like motorcycle outfit and everything.
And he's by himself. Anyway, moving on.
Like that lonely wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
One wheel, one man.
Like I said, I know why you guys are here. We got to drink my tears. The Niners losing heartbreaking passion once again. They're making a habit of this year after year. Yep. Deep playoff runs, get to the Super Bowl, and lose at the very end of the game. It was only but 4 years ago when we had a 10-point lead against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. 10 points, 6 minutes left, and we saw that one disappear. 10 points in the first quarter yesterday. Or in the first half, I should say. And again, 10-point lead, and we lose on the last play of the season.
It's destiny. I don't know. Patrick Mahomes,
he's inevitable.
It's inevitable. And welcome to my living hell. As I was watching this game, I obviously had my hearts out for my boys. As much as I love seeing you guys lose, because you join me in my misery, and misery loves company.
Yeah.
I wanted this for you guys, just because wanted it for you. This city in general, how much it gets behind it, how much it gets hyped up, and I do love seeing the town with that pep in its step. And I know, it's like I know how much this means to you in particular, Jarrell, and this team. So I was like, all right, let's. I'm not saying I have go Niners, but I wanted to see just some happiness.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I wanted to see a good game, which we got. Mm-hmm. But that was absolutely brutal. It was it was death by a thousand paper cuts, essentially.
Yeah. You just knew it was coming. You could just feel it coming. I figured this was how the game was going to end. I didn't know if it was going to be overtime or the fourth quarter. But I figured as long as Patrick Mahomes has the ball in his hands and his possession with the chance to win it. I thought we all knew how that was going
to
end.
You have to step on his throat whenever you have him down.
Yep,
And you can't let him, you can't give him any chance to breathe whatsoever. And for the most part, that first half was the first time a defensive line you guys showed up.
Yeah.
was the first time like it was like really like Chase Young had himself a game.
Yes, he did.
Eric Armstead had himself a game. Bosa had himself a phenomenal game.
And I understand that you can't call every hold on Bosa, but I mean, they were out there mugging this dude. But listen, that's not why they lost.
I mean, and then obviously you just had so many things, the Dre Greenlaw, torn Achilles, which is, that's just like, I don't care if you're any fan out there, that's just got to be the most brutal thing to see happen.
Yeah.
And you're in that moment, and the way it goes happen, the way it goes down is just like, it's so pathetic and just heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
You know, like, can't go down this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just, it's just.
And he came to play.
He did.
Those first two possessions, he was laying the wood on dudes. And you could just see he was hyped and maybe a little too hyped, ran out on the field, blew his Achilles out. And immediately, I knew what happened. I looked at my boy Ryan Millard and said, that was his Achilles. He will see him at the end of next year. That sucks because he's a very important part of that D. I would say the Niners in Baltimore have the best linebackers, and to lose, how you know, one half of that tandem was brutal.
I mean, what I would do is have him go talk to Aaron Rodgers, figure out how he got to where he did, because I think he's got a full offseason, probably by mid-season, maybe like a couple weeks into the season.
So just to be clear, the Rodgers formula: tell everyone you're going to defy science and you're going to come back early. Continue, make weekly hits on Pat McAfee's show. Say wild, outlandish things about your own progress. Make the entire season about you, even though you're not playing, and then never come back. That's what you're saying.
100%.
Dre Greenlaw should
do. But at the same time, I actually think Aaron might have been able to come back, but why bring him back with such a terrible
season? He just wanted that carrot out there for everyone to keep talking about him. That's all it was. I mean, granted, I'm sure that if there's a chance, maybe he would have loved to see himself play this season, just because, you know. But who doesn't love Aaron Rodgers more than Aaron Rodgers?
That's true.
But it is just like, back to the game, it was tough. It was because it was a good game as trying to be an objective observer of the game. It had a phenomenal defensive stand on both sides, right?
Yep. The defense was great, man. It was really, really excellent. That secondary of Kansas City, we cannot overstate, the impact they had on the game, breaking up a lot of key passes on third downs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Debo, I feel like he had to have blown out his quad.
Yeah, Debo, obviously.
His hamstring, I'm sorry, and probably got a ton of steroids in there to keep himself in the game. Because they were all over him. They were draped.
Debo doesn't go down by the first tackler ever, and that happened multiple times yesterday.
Yeah.
So you have to imagine he was dealing with something.
Whoever was on him, Snead, McDuffie, they were just on his hip.
Yeah.
You know? He couldn't get that separation. And it shouts to pretty much everyone else. They really didn't. I mean, obviously, there were some great moments in there where you thought, oh, this, you know, something could happen. Obviously, you got to give a shout to Juwan Jennings for having himself a fantastic game. I mean, throwing and catching a touchdown, that's legendary.
I think if the Niners won, that would have been my MVP vote.
Oh,
I think so, too. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
that type of stat line. I mean, and this is nothing like, this is one game that you really can't. Brock Purdy was what you wanted in Brock Purdy. You can't really ask for any more from that guy.
He didn't play. He didn't make the big mistake, you know, to turn the ball over or anything like that. The one route that he missed Ayuk ran the wrong way, and that was. That had all the Emmanuel Sanders vibes that you can imagine against Kansas City in 2019. It was just like, oh God, this is what we're gonna do. And had he ran the right direction, my lovely wife would have won $250 on Square. So that was a double bummer for me as a Niners fan and a fan of my wife. So yeah, you know, the food was excellent yesterday. So the spread. Great. Okay.
There we go.
The
that's
spread
important.
Was great.
If you're in the tears, you might as well have some good food with you.
Listen, I don't know if it's just an age thing, but I have some perspective on these things, right? I never thought I would see the Warriors win a championship after all those years of just being poop, butt soup. And like, actually in an even worse place than being butt soup, we're mediocre, so just outside the playoffs for years, where we're getting like a late lottery pick that never turned into anything, and then now we went on the run. Got to see the Giants win three championships. I just need, and I've already come to the conclusion and moved off of the Sharks. It ain't happening for that franchise ever, so who cares?
They had a decent run in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, it's never
decent.
They had a 3-0 lead and lost to the Kings.
Yep.
It is never, ever going to happen for the Sharks. That team is cursed. They are the Red Sox, the modern-day Cubs, modern-day Red Sox, the lovable losers. We don't need to talk about the Sharks. But the Niners, 30 years later, we're still on this quest for six. I'm glad we don't have it as a tagline anymore because that was getting old. You can't be on the same quest for 30 years. Like at some point, you got to give that quest up.
At least rename it. Yeah, rebrand it in some way right there.
Yeah. So do it for the Bay this year was much better than quest for six. It's just do it for the Bay. That's vague. What are we doing? No one knows, but just do it for the Bay. I'm good with that. Okay. I'm great with that. It's just... Listen, I was trying to rack my brain on which one hurt the most. As I'm, like I said, a little bit older, I feel like I have a little more perspective. And I don't know, man. I think 2019 hurt really bad because I wanted that one for my grams before she passed. I watched the second half at my grandma's house and really, really just wanted to see them get that dub for her. My grandfather just passed away a couple years prior, and that's what we did on Sundays as a family. We watched the Niners, or Mondays, or Saturdays, or Thursday nights, right? But that's what we did. That was like our family tradition. So I wanted it for them. So that one hurt really bad. I will say, what was it, 2011 or 2012, when we lost to the Seahawks with that breakup in the end zone? That one... That was pretty brutal, mainly because of my hatred for Russell Wilson and everything Seattle Seahawks related at the time. But I mean, we just, as a Niners fan, like, listen, you get this close. Again, 10-point lead in the Super Bowl 2019. 2012 in the Super Bowl, first and goal at the 8-yard line. And we throw four fades to the back of the end zone to Crabtree when we had Frank Gore, a Hall of Famer, in our backfield and a timeout in our pocket. That one hurt.
I got to say, the West really doesn't know how to run the ball inside the 10-yard line.
No, that's not. Yeah. I mean, Marshawn Lynch could tell you all about it.
Yeah.
But I – it's and then, of course, a couple years ago, what was that, 21, I want to say, or 20 – losing to the Rams in the championship game, dropping that pick that pretty much iced it, brutal. So it's hard. It's hard to pick from so much heartbreak. You know, it's like which ex messed you up the most? I don't know. They all have left scar tissue, so much so that I'm a little... I don't want to say I'm immune to it because last night I was pretty bummed, as you can imagine, but I expected it.
It's not a different ex. It's the same ex doing the same thing, like different
that's
things.
True. Yes,
you know,
yeah, that's true.
And you just keep going back because we're glutton for punishments. That's fandom right there.
My ex just keeps cheating on me, just with different dudes.
Yeah, just different, yeah. It's a different situation, but yeah.
At what point did you realize this game was basically over for you?
I would say in the first quarter when CMC fumbled the ball. I
that's doom and gloom. I love
that,
to see
that
right
was
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've.
I'm right there with you in my doom and gloom.
I don't want to say that I manifested this because I don't believe one person that's not involved with the game can, you know, really
influence
impact
the outcome.
Yes,
outcome
thank
of everything,
you.
Yeah.
However, I had a vision of this game ending the way it did with Mahomes, no time left, scoring a touchdown. And I didn't know, like I said, if it was going to happen in the fourth or OT. Of course, I didn't say this to anyone because I was trying to keep the vibes high. But as soon as we fumbled, and that first drive, every play was a positive. There wasn't a single incompletion. Every handoff was going up the middle for 7-8 yards. We were moving the ball. Purdy looked good. The play calls were great. I was like, okay, here we go. We're going to score a touchdown on the opening drive. This is what we need, a little tone setter. And then CMC fumbled the ball. Granted, follow that up with a 3-and-out, which the Niners desperately needed. But it didn't matter. You got to capitalize, like you said. When you're going against Michael Jordan, you got to step on Jordan's throat. You got to cut off the snake's head. You can't kick Jordan in the shins and expect him not to sit out the fourth quarter, right? Like, you knew how this was going to end up because Patrick Mahomes is inevitable. And it sucks. It's great to witness and to have greatness in the game like this and to have a dude like this to call a villain and root against and to start this rivalry with. But it just sucks watching a whole game feeling like you have to play perfect. And even if he doesn't, and this was the most imperfect offense he's gone to the Super Bowl with, and still.
It's tough witnessing. As much as I can appreciate how great Patrick Mahomes is and what this Chiefs run is, it's just always going to be tough. Again, he's becoming that villain. He's becoming Tom Brady. They're becoming the Patriots. It's happening all over again. And because, like, as much as you, if you're a fan of the dynasty, obviously you love that dynasty, but everyone else hates it because we just get tired of being inundated with the same stuff over and over again. And then you add on the fact that they also had probably one of the biggest distractions that could possibly happen to a team in bringing on the likes of one of the biggest pop superstars in the world at this point, and she's on your sideline consistently, and she experiences all the joys that we seek out so much, dying for every single time. If you're a fan, you know. You go into every single year with a little bit of hope, and that hope sucks because it brings you down because you never experience the true fruition. Only one team does. Everyone else is suckers in it. Pains me to see that she got one, not even a full year into it. Not a full year of football. Just hopped on this wagon, this pole of Travis Kelce and decided, you know what? I'm going to know what a Super Bowl tastes like. And I'm not trying to knock her. Congratulations, Taylor Swift. You're dating a fantastic guy. I hope you guys never have babies. I hope you guys break up soon or all everything happens soon. I don't really care. None of that matters to me. It's just like, you brought on these new groups of people, and they just think it's easy now. And that's the thing that sucks, because it is not easy. More often than not, you're sitting there thinking, why do I like sports? Why am I a fan? But then you realize it's so much fun when you do win. You experience that. And the camaraderie you have with the people around you and the moments and the tension that is naturally built up in this form of entertainment. But it's just pained me to think that, like, you don't have to go through any pain and heartbreak whatsoever, and you got the taste of success that I have yet to taste in my Super Bowl world right now. I've tasted it in other sports right now, but it's not. Yeah. There's certain things that just, you haven't earned it, and that pains me to see that right now. I don't want to be the person that's like, oh, I hate Taylor Swift. No, it's not trying to say that. It's just the fact that you got to experience the joys that I have been longing for so easily.
Yeah, so I had a lot of, and shout out to our listeners. Our listeners are the best, even though a lot of y'all jumped in my mentions. And the bro who's a Niners fan who is like, can't wait to drink your tears. What are you doing, guy? What was that? That was the most, I got a lot of messages from our listeners. That was the weirdest one. He had a post in all Niners gear and then writes to me, can't wait to drink your tears on the show tomorrow. What are you doing, guy?
I mean, are you a fan of tears in general? But like, you could have specified it like, can't wait to share tears with you tomorrow.
Okay, that would have been, that would have made more sense.
A little bit different. But you don't want, you want to drink your own, like,
my pain is your pain.
Yeah,
bro.
I would say, I don't want to drink Dodger fan tears.
So Taylor Swift grew up a Philadelphia Eagle fan.
Okay.
I
mean, how much of a fan is she, though? That's what
She doesn't seem to know a lot about football, which is fine. And a lot of people, so one guy wrote me and said, how much do you hate Taylor Swift right now? I don't hate Taylor Swift. Listen, Taylor Swift doesn't make music for 39-year-old married men, okay? So it's not my demo. I don't hate on things that aren't for me because this isn't Kanye West where I could have an actual opinion about Kanye West because I've listened to his music. New album, by the way, garbage. Oh my God, is it bad? So bad. Side tangent. Anyway, what I get frustrated about is what you were just alluding to, Derek, the fact that Swifties step over to the sport for 3 months and they get a taste of the victory of a Super Bowl and how great that feels. They will never understand what it feels like to suffer year in and year out and be this close. I mean, just a play away, multiple seasons, on multiple occasions, on the biggest stage, to prove a bunch of doubters wrong, whether it was Jimmy G, Kaepernick before him, Brock Purdy now, all having the opportunity to change their narrative and none of them being able to get it done. And these Swifties just walk into the sport and just like that get to experience the ultimate joy. And that I do not like.
that's a tough pill for me to swallow. You heard my rant. And it's the thing that also kind of haunts me is I saw some people out there, women in general, who were fans of the Niners, but wanted to see Taylor Swift happier more than the Niners.
That's ridiculous.
That to me was like, okay, don't say you're a Niner fan. Then just say, hey, I enjoy
the
sports.
So you lose your fan card at that
point. Gone from you. You're not a fan. You're just a casual observer of the sport, which is totally fine. You want to be at the Super Bowl party, and you're on your phone the entire time. You're there for the chips and dip. You're there for the Usher performance, which was phenomenal, by the way. I'll take that. Give me some Ludacris, some Little John, and Alicia Keys. Sign me up.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not a fan. Don't wear that. I don't. It's tough for me to see you in the gear and then be like, yeah, I'd rather see Taylor happy.
Okay, like, first of all, she's plenty happy. She's got $1 billion in the bank.
She's totally fine.
She's doing just fine, ladies.
She's phenomenal.
Worry about your dad, who all he has left in his life is this Niners team that keeps sending him closer and closer to an early grave. Why don't you be a little less selfish and worrying about Taylor Swift's happiness? Actually, be more selfish. Worry about your family. Worry about your dad who provided for you, who works this job that he hates, and all he has after raising you is the Niners on Sundays. And all he wants is to taste victory. And instead, what do you want? The happiness for some celebrity you will never, ever meet. That's who you are, lady.
Now, if you hate your dad, go for it.
Now, understood.
That's
okay,
yes, that's all, if you had some issues with daddy, 100%, that's fine. No need to do that. Root for Taylor Swift and your happiness. Okay, go for it. But if you have a soul and you have a dad that you loved and he cared for you and he put a roof over your head.
Or a mom. Or whomever in your family that made you a Niners fan.
Yes. Who made you that Niners fan. Who made you want to wear the gear.
Yes.
Okay? Do it for them next time.
Do it for them.
Yeah, because, again.
Brutal.
I don't have that ability to kind of grasp on for someone who is, like, so amazingly successful to, like, want more success for them. Like, I'm happy for their success. Yeah. But I'm like, yeah, get more.
And
like,
hey Bill Gates, for my day.
I want you to get another bill.
Yeah.
Get another bill, Bill Gates. You know,
I've never once woke up and thought, man, I wish Bezos could just make just a little bit more money. I really hope he gets to space.
I want him to get on the moon. I'm not rooting for Jeff Bezos on the moon ever, okay?
Yeah, I don't care.
If he gets there, you got there. You spent a lot of money to get there. But I'm not going to be actively rooting for this guy to get there.
I agree.
Are you rooting for Jeff Bezos to get to the moon?
I mean, kind of, so that his suit, like, defects and he...
Oh, okay. Yeah. So not to come back to the moon?
Yes.
So you want him to come back from the moon?
I want him to go to the moon, but not be able to come back.
Okay.
Well, that's what I hope
I'm good with that.
Hey, I'm okay. Hey, he's going to be a martyr at that point in time, which actually probably he'd enjoy the best. Actually, he probably wants to live forever, actually. I take that back.
I'm pretty sure everybody in that situation,
if you're a billionaire at this point, you probably feel like, I'm going to try to find a way to cure, like, mortality.
Well, yeah, that's what Elon's doing by just spreading his seed all over the place. He's got, like, 42 kids. I think I exaggerated by about 30, but he's got a lot of children.
He's got 26 letters in the alphabet, so you got to get one for each one of them, you know?
Fair enough.
He's making letters up at this point.
Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll get right back to it.
This episode of Talking About Practice is made possible by Homes for Gnomes. Because every year, too many gnomes go without a home, but every gnome wants a place to call a home. And if you have a home where you can give a gnome a place to stand to welcome everyone to your home, then you should help a gnome and give it a home. So don't let any gnomes go without a home any longer. Visit www.homesforgnomeswhodonthaveahometogohometo.com and get your gnome today. Because every home deserves a gnome, and every gnome wants a home. And if you can give a gnome a home, your home will be better off for it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen. It pains me that this man is here. I'm excited that this man is here. I'm shocked that this man came in here a day after winning the Super Bowl, got a direct flight to Chico somehow, which is incredible, from Vegas. But we do have your Super Bowl MVP with us, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, how are you feeling today?
Oh, you know, just king of the world right now, man. You know, it's pretty phenomenal where I'm at in this world. You know, give all the glory to the utmost, up high, up top, baby. Appreciate having the fact that I've got a hot-ass wife out there that's about to grace your Sports Illustrated covers.
That's right.
And I'm about to head to Disney World, happiest place in the world. So, shouts to me.
Shouts to you indeed. You know, your personal life, or at least your family's existence, has been very public as of late, from the issues with your brother forcing himself on a bartender.
I mean, at this point in time, as you can see, we've kind of just excommunicated him from the family. He's no longer in the club with us anymore, so, you know, denied access.
I get that. Fair enough. Now, obviously, your wife has been gallivanting around with Taylor Swift. That brings a lot of attention. She's now going to be gracing the cover of Sports Illustrated, which, congrats. How does that make you feel as having your wife as the cover model this year?
You know, I just wake up every single day standing at attention, and it's just a beautiful thing, man. And I can't appreciate it anymore, and I'm glad you guys are going to be appreciated, too, with me. I'm just happy that, obviously, Super Bowl, fantastic, but hot-ass wife, that's better.
Now, your dad went from smoking on that Lamar pack to, unfortunately, getting his third DUI. Recently, was that much of a distraction for you leading up to the Super Bowl?
Oh no, it gave me a motivation because I wanted to match him in rings, from DUIs and rings. You know, 3-3 now. So you know, he doesn't have anything on me now. I'm like, yo, Dad, I got 3 rings. You got 3 DUIs. What else you got?
Fair enough. Yeah, so you do have 3 Super Bowl MVPs, 3 Super Bowl titles. What's next? I mean, obviously the GOAT talk is going to start. The constant comparison, you and Brady. Do you think about that much in your preparation in the off season? Or, you know, if I was to get you really drunk one night and get some truth serum in you, is that something that you think about?
You know, definitely thinking about ending on a high is what I want to do. I don't want to teeter away. Like other people have. So I might just retire now and, you know, just give everyone a chance to think just to be the greatest ever that could have been, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, that to me is pretty telling and awesome, too.
Yeah, that's wow. What an announcement. We are newsbreakers around here. Patrick Mahomes considering retiring. And so we could end the debate because we'll never have an answer. And what a checkmate. So, listen, I just want to thank you for your time today. Is there anything you want to tell the people before you get out of here?
You know, again, Disney World, coming my way. Kansas City forever. Chief Kingdom. And hot-ass wife.
All right. We want to thank Patrick Mahomes for spending a little bit of time with us today. Obviously, he's got a really busy schedule. But congrats to him and the rest of those bums over in Kansas City.
Hey, happy to be here.
Yeah.
A bum in general.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patrick. Thanks you for gracing us, man. That was nice.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. All right. That's gonna do it for Patrick Mahomes. Again, we want to thank him for coming in today. That was awesome.
I mean, I gotta imagine when you're a Super Bowl MVP, you can pretty much go anywhere you want in the world right now, right?
Yeah.
When you chose to came to Chico. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We're a special breed right here.
No.
Yeah. Losers. Losers unite. We bring in winners because we can't win them ourselves.
Oh, God. This show has suffered so much losing since the inception. I mean, granted, you got to see your Dodgers and Lakers win one. I think since the show started, the Warriors have won two?
You won two. Wait.
We started in 2016, right?
No, yeah. We started when you guys lost in your 3-1.
15. Thought you guys started in 15.
Oh my God, has it been that long? No, it was 16 because it was when we got KD the next year.
Yes, gotcha. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, so
you've won 3 within that. You ran 2 with
that's right.
With KD. So you've seen 3 three Warriors.
Yeah.
And you've had in the show, and then I've had my Dodgers and Lakers.
Yeah, and we all got Michigan
got
together.
Michigan, yep. Yeah.
Michigan was a good one.
Unfortunately, Brad, you got Michigan with us.
I got Michigan.
Yeah.
No Green Bay. Maybe the no Kings.
No,
I was
Kings.
Gonna say
yeah,
Kings
the show was started.
No,
that was before us.
Yep, yeah, that was before the show. I just got Michigan. That's
yeah.
it.
It's tough.
I mean,
like, I don't know. I
had one for Duke. One for Duke.
Yeah, your
that
Duke.
Was good
your
one.
Duke love. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
so we have some, but like I don't know. For me,
I don't like being that Duke fan, so that's why.
I think we beat it out of you.
Yeah. No, I just, as a kid, I didn't like being that Duke fan because I always heard about how annoying they are, and I saw it, and I'm like, I'm going to enjoy it, but I'm not going to be that annoying Duke
fan. Active person
yeah.
out there that's just, you know, blatantly a Blue Devil.
If I was on the East Coast, maybe. West Coast, not so much.
It's tough gig over here right now.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I don't know. It was tough because, like, as much as I, you know, it sucks too because my championships are going to have a certain taint to them that, is ultimately brought on that you cannot deny. And anyone and people have tried, it's tougher. It might have been tougher, but no other way. It's a different season. It was different, and that difference is has
there's an asterisk. No matter how you want to slice it, there's an asterisk next to those championships.
Not to mention, I didn't get a chance to go to see any of those games live in person.
Yeah.
And for me, I would give up pretty much most other teams' championships if I could see the Dodgers win the World Series. Like all of them.
And go see one in person.
Yeah, and go see, yeah.
I will say, that is one thing I do feel sad for you on, is that when they did win, you didn't have the opportunity to even go and see that.
Yeah, that wasn't even an option.
Because I went to go watch, like, Detroit, when they played Detroit. That was a fun experience. And I do wish that for you, that one day you're able to go at least watch them when they win the World Series.
Because the last time I went, when I saw them live in person, they lost that World Series.
Especially to a cheating team. So that's kind of why.
That 17 is, that's my stinging moment. When
also, Dodgers' fault, remove the trash cans out of your stadium. Promise. Let's take a quick
break. Oh, there we go.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And, of course, you're listening to the one, the only, Talking About Practice. Dro, Derek, Statman Brad. No Rude Dog, because Rude Dog is running scared. And, again, I repeat, Rude Dog, coward. Come take your lumps, bro.
You got to do it, my dude.
Come take your lumps. They come suck. In hungover, feel sad, cry on air, whatever you got to do.
But that's what we're here for, man.
That's you what the show is built on, hate. And you are taking that ability away from us. Oh. And it's not going to be as fun to hate a week from today. You need to be able to hate today.
It will be very fun to hate a week from today.
Not as fresh, though.
No, not fresh.
Hate is the best hate. You know?
But it's going to be better because it's going to be pent up because he didn't show up.
That's true. It'll be double hatred because we'll hate him for not being here.
There you go. Yeah. So, that's a good point. I just want to let y'all know that we are made possible by friends over at Satava Art Glass Studio, creating art glass since 1977. Satava Glass Studio and Gallery at 819 Wall Street in Chico is open to the public Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can also shop online 24/7 at Satava Art Glass. Whoa, sorry, I don't know where that came from. At Satava.com. Online orders ship out daily, baby. All right. Well, a lot happened over the past week or so. So with no further ado, Derek will catch you up on the going-ons around the world.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
Well, that is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, for this news story, I'm taking you to Kansas City, Missouri. And not for the reasons that you're thinking of, because I don't cover sports in this segment right now. We know that. Unless it's cockfighting, then of course that's first and foremost, but we're not talking about that today. We're taking you to the home of Miss Mariah Thomas. Why am I taking you to the home of Miss Mariah Thomas? Because Miss Mariah Thomas, she crazy. She is a character. And I'm going to start with the sad news today because I want to end on the fun notes. So we're going to start with the dirty, end on the fun. So the dirty house of Miss Mariah Thomas. You might be wondering, why is it dirty, Derek? Well, it smells of dead baby. That's right. God. Yeah, unfortunately, Miss Mariah Thomas is being charged right now with endangering the welfare of a child. And by endangering, you mean killing. So that's pretty much, don't get that. Endangering? No, she's endangered. She's dangered. She's dead. Baby gone.
Mm.
Why? You might be wondering, how did Miss Mariah Thomas come to this conclusion? Well, she put said baby in the oven.
What?
Apparently, when authorities arrived, they found baby with burnt marks, dead on scene. Now, you might be wondering, Derek, yo, how did Mariah Thomas put the baby in the oven? Well, she opened the door first and then placed it in. Why did she do it is the more important question.
Jeez.
Why she did it is she saying that she was attempting to put it down for a nap and somehow mistaken the door of the oven as this place to put her as her crib. Now, unless Mariah Thomas is on meth, in which case in time I can, yeah, sure, mushrooms, something to that nature, maybe some drug-induced state, but that's not clarified in this statement. It is just stated in this news story that Mariah Thomas merely thought that it was the Cribs. I'm not buying that. And neither are the prosecutors, because they're going for as much as they possibly can for Mariah Thomas. And let's hope they get it. That's a pretty sickening thing to happen. How do you mistake an oven for a crib?
Yeah.
And if you're on drugs, still, be gone with you. You're handling a child and you're on drugs right now. Mother of the Year award goes to Miss Mariah Thomas.
Man.
So, careful what you do with your babies, y'all. Ovens are not cribs. Shocking. All right. We move on from that unusual story. We take you to the U.S. Borders Customs, where a man was returning into Boston from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Now, he said that he was coming back with some fish that he had brought back with him, some dried fish. Now, upon further inspection, they realized that dried fish was actually mummified monkey.
Huh.
Now, you might be wondering, what's my man doing with mummified monkey? Well, yep. You're going to eat it, obviously. That's, I hope at least. I hope he's not trying to do anything else with them. But apparently that is a custom across the world. The monkey is a commonly eaten animal. Hey, if it walks, you can eat it. I mean, I take it back. You can't actually. Obviously, absolutely, if it walks, you can eat it. Should you eat it? No. Humans, no.
Yeah.
Everything else, you know what? If you got to eat it, you got to eat it. Then again, you know, cannibalism, got to survive, got to survive. It's dead, it's dead.
That's what your homegirl Mariah or whatever her name was.
Yeah, she's exactly.
Probably that hungry. Baby
she's
the
probably
oven.
Just hungry. You yeah. Know? Yeah. What does a dead baby taste like? Medium rare.
Yikes.
Sorry. That's my sick mind right there coming to the forefront, as it always does. But again, we take you back to, can't bring in monkeys, dehydrated monkeys into the States. Obviously, the chances of bringing on an animal from the bush is very dangerous.
Yep.
There's things like Ebola out there that haven't reached these parts, and we don't want it to. So, declare your mummified species before you get into America. That's all I ask for. Just declare them. And one last note for you. This is the fun. This is the fun right now. This is the true fun right now. Now, I don't know about you guys. If you've ever been on a farm before, roosters are... They're real Dick Cheneys.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty much awful. Every once in a while, you might come across one that has a certain... You might have a certain bond with and whatnot. And I remember my mom talking about this of her time growing up in Mexico, of just the roosters being awful to her sister and how much her sister hated roosters because of this. Now, there was a farm out here in Mississippi that was dealing with some situations where they had some roosters, and one of the roosters decided to attack one of their kids. Not good. Scratched her up pretty gnarly across the face. Almost took her eye out. So what do you do when you got a rooster that does that to a kid? You eat it. It's got two legs. that's right, yeah. Said rooster got turned into chicken nuggets that night. So shouts to them. That's the life cycle right there.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you got to do right
Jack
there.
Jack my kid?
I'm eating you now. Yeah. That's the ultimate, like, gotcha. Nothing else can be said about that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
I eat you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. <Checkmate. laughs> So again, if it's got two legs, you can't eat it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Should you?
No.
If it attacks your children, yes.
Yes.
That's the news.
All right. Very good. As we do each and every week to class up the show, we bring in our foreign correspondent to cover the sports we didn't pay enough attention to. And this particular week, there was quite the scene down in Phoenix. So we bring on our friend Aaron. Aaron, hello.
Hey there. How's it going, guys?
Oh, we're doing.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about this.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
This is going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get into it. The waste management this past weekend, they suspended alcohol sales. There was a lot of back and forth between some of the golfers. Zach Johnson said he's never playing in that tournament again, which grow up. But
I mean, Tiger did the same thing. He said he was never playing at a certain point.
Tiger takes it too seriously.
Yeah, agreed.
Tiger's the GOAT for a certain reason. He takes it too seriously.
But let's give Aaron an opportunity to kind of catch the audience up on what happened this past weekend.
No, I think you're right, and that was exactly the direction I was going to take. I think maybe it might have gotten a little bit out of hand. Instead of calling it the Waste Management Open, maybe the Wasted Management Open. Yes, alcohol sales were suspended. A woman fell from the stands. There was a lot of heckling that happened. And apparently, because the weather, it rained a little bit, one of their parking lots flooded, and so they had to bring in shuttles to shuttle in like 3,000 people. And there were so many people that showed up, they had to stop letting people in even. So maybe not the best showing for the Waste Management this year, but I kind of think that's what we love about it.
Well, that's kind of the whole point, right, is golfers year-round don't have to deal with any heckling or really much of any nonsense and could have people removed from the gallery all the time. And this is the one event where it's actually encouraged to come and get hammered, especially on the 16th, and be rowdy. And, okay, maybe they went a little too far. But, I mean, the golfers just taking themselves so serious. I get it to an extent, but it's a terrible look, man. It's a really bad look.
Yeah, like I said, this is the one tournament of the year. This is it. This is the one chance for the fans to actually have a chance to really make this the sport that we want it to be. You know, make it an actual sport. That's why it's tough for me to call golf a sport when I have to be quiet. If I have to be quiet at any point in time at a sporting event, I'm like, it's not a sporting event.
Yeah, that's
you know, it's tough for me to take it seriously if I have to be quiet at some point in time. Looking at you, tennis as well. Okay. That being said, this is our time to shine at the Waste Management Open, and this is the time where, yeah, you probably should only let people in with tickets. That's probably what you first and foremost should do. So Waste Management Open, be better at that. You know, there was a lot of talks of them letting people in who didn't even have tickets. They stopped just scanning tickets. They're like, just free for all, let everyone go. So you got to just
They might have gotten a little bit too lax. I'm definitely not saying take it all the way back. Let's button it up. They might have, you know, taken it a tiny bit too far. You know, I'm sure all of you saw videos, but you know, the people, you know, falling over drunk. I'm sure also interesting spectating, but not a great look, I think, for Waste Management. And I'm sure they'll dial it back a tiny bit next year.
But if they take that away from us, then you can ride in the streets, I feel. Because that's like, you can't take that away. You have to still let it be the case. And players, like you said, just Zach Johnson. You suck at the Ryder Cup. That's why you get the hate. Don't suck. You don't get hate, okay? That's all you got to do.
Yeah, pretty simple. Yeah, better. Dude.
Be better. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I just think it's a really bad look. I think you could have fun with it where you start talking some playful trash back and forth. I mean, you know, you guys, I don't know what the trash talk is, but anything aside from telling people to shut the F up, like, it's, listen, they are there to be rowdy. You make millions of dollars. Take the high road.
Just say that you're an embarrassment to their family. You know, that's like, you're an embarrassment to your family.
Look how drunk you are in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Look at you, bud.
Hey, man. Glad you're watching me make my millions.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing
right
now.
Yeah, you paid to watch me play.
Yeah, just something, man. Just have that energy about you where you realize you're better than all these people at this right now, okay? We're coming to be paid money. People are paying six figures in certain situations to see you swing a golf club.
Right.
Okay?
Just laugh it
just
off.
Just having fun with it, my dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to accidentally, like, slice one into the crowd, I'm okay with a little bodily harm. Yeah, don't. Yeah. Like, don't kill anyone. But I know it's kind of easier said than done because they're drunks out there. But I'm just simply saying you never know where the ball might go sometimes.
That's true. Aaron, you got anything else for us on the Waste Management?
Nick Taylor ended up winning three shots down with four holes left to push it into a playoff. So just, you know, Nick Taylor won.
I was just saying you pushed him out. You won it, you know. I
forgot about that part.
And it went into the playoff, you said, right?
Into the play with Charlie Huffman.
Yeah. Okay. So someone did actually play.
Someone got it together. Taylor never wants Wasted Management to go away.
Yeah. There we go. Yes.
I love it.
That's his luck charm.
All right. We got a ton of questions. Can you hang out for a bit? We got a lot of Valentine's Day and romance questions. And you're in HR, aren't you, Aaron?
I sure am.
Okay.
She's like queen of HR. Yeah. I got to give you that. Like, Aaron is like, if you have any HR questions, any insurance questions or anything, that's my gal right there.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, she's my gal no matter what because I'm a sister and I love her. But, like,
She knows it all.
Yeah, that's awesome. Having someone in HR related to you, my mother as well, makes it... It's great. It's a good resource.
Yeah, 100%.
So this is perfect because this first question involves HR. So Office Romance is the title of this one. Gentlemen and my lady, with Valentine's Day around the corner, I felt this is an appropriate time to discuss a new potential love interest in my life. A few months back during an after-hours office outing, I hit it off with a coworker of mine. We will call her Cindy. Cindy is beautiful, easy to talk to, laid back and funny. We immediately hit it off, and as a result of some liquid courage, I asked Cindy out on a date. Since then, we have gone on several dates, and everything seems to be going great. Cindy and I work in the same department, but on different teams, so there is no real conflict there, aside from the obvious risk we take whenever we decide to date someone we work with. However, there is a promotion I am in line for that would start in May. If I am fortunate enough to get the promotion, I would then oversee the team that Cindy is on. I would not be her direct report, yet I would be higher than her on the org chart. My company has a policy that you must disclose any inner office relationships. For the most part, this really is meant to apply to any romantic relationships in which one of the roles may have influence over the other. Cindy is well aware of this dilemma and has been supportive in her understanding of my situation. This potential promotion would be a pretty big deal for me. This would make me the youngest manager in the company, as I'm only 29 years old.
Dang.
And it would come with a significant pay increase. Only a few people in the company know that Cindy and I have been dating, and none of the people that would be influential in deciding my promotion know that we're dating. If you're me, would you disclose the relationship now, risking being passed over for the promotion? Would you wait until after the promotion to say something? I have a pretty good relationship with the decision makers in this process, and I don't want to burn that bridge. I also do not want to miss out on the promotion. Any advice helps? Thanks. So obviously, Aaron, let's start with you on this one.
Well, there's also the thing is, does your company have an actual non-fraternization policy? Because if there is, and you don't disclose it, and they find out afterwards, that will be a problem. That being said, I think being upfront is typically, the truth will set you free. And I know that it's tough because you're risking it a little bit, but if, as you say, you're not going to be, she won't report directly to you. I think honesty is the best policy. And if you're close with the people making the decision, I would advise to let them know.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think it's important. Because I think it could be way worse for you if you disclose it after getting said promotion and then someone casually drops in front of one of these people who you report to, oh yeah, you guys have been dating for like a year, right? Or oh yeah, they've been dating for a while now, and you just disclose it after getting the promotion, I think that would create a problem. So I'm with you. You boys got anything on this, or can we move on?
Yeah, I'm on the same page there.
I mean, yeah, obviously I think honesty is good. One thing I've just simply asked is, I mean, how serious are we talking about with this girl right now? You know, that's another thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, if it is just a casual thing, keep it casual. But like you said, you're 29 right now. You're probably getting to your point. You're both, just want to figure something out, which is important. You know,
yeah.
Got to find your mate right now. So if this is your mate, then yeah, this is something you care about and you can see a future with. Then yeah, that's probably the best way to cover.
That's a great point. How serious is this?
Yeah.
Is it serious enough to report? Is this your girlfriend?
Yeah. Can you see your future with this person and moving forward? And if not, just on the blindness of, like, she's attractive and I get along with her, like, can you live with this person right now? And are you really to make that sacrifice, So.
Well, almost every one of these questions comes down to how attractive is the other
person? There we go. That's the way I was getting the other line right now. How hot is Cindy right now?
That's what it all kind of boils down to. Is it worth the risk?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Drunk boyfriends. Hello, friends of TBP. I think you're the friend of TBP. It doesn't matter. I'm a 30-year-old woman checking in who has been listening to your show since grad school 5 years ago. Now that football is over, I hope that you bring back some of the classic segments like You're Dead to Me, Froggy Bars, and a classic that you haven't played on the on the radio show, just the podcast, How White Are You?
Wow. Okay. Serious listeners. Yeah, oh, my gosh. That is.
We haven't done How White Are You in like 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
We're going to cool it on the race stuff. Okay. We've had enough meetings about that. All right. So anyway.
We can do a couple of those. That last one, not so much.
Yeah. The reason for my email is that I need help on how I should respond to my boyfriend getting sloppy drunk in front of all my friends yesterday at the Super Bowl party. I've been dating my boyfriend, we'll call him Josh, for the past 7 months. He's great, blah, 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 and responsible most of the time in parentheses. My boyfriend has met some of my friends, but yesterday was the first time that we had all been together at the same place in a long time since two of the couples in our group have recently had babies since Josh and I started dating. Yesterday, he got blacked out drunk and made a fool of himself. My friends are all big drinkers, especially when we are all together, as those moments are less and less as people begin to have families. So during the first half, I saw my boyfriend take no less than 6 shots. He began slurring his words and incoherently yelling at the TV on pretty much every play. Penalty flag, yells at the TV. First down, yells at the TV. 3-yard scamper up the middle, yells at the TV. By halftime, my friend started feeding him shots of water for a reference. During halftime, the boys went out to the backyard to toss a football around, and Josh joined. He ended up throwing the football at the kitchen window. No receiver of said football was within 20 feet of the ball. He cracked the window. He profusely apologized, but again, was blacked out drunk while doing so. He did offer to pay for the window, and we ended up leaving in the third quarter because he was so embarrassingly drunk. He called out of work sick this morning as he is dealing with what must be a raging hangover. He doesn't often drink like that. He's usually more reserved and will put away a couple beers and call it a night. My question for y'all is, how should I run damage control? Or should I even do damage control? Should I text my friends and apologize for his behavior? Should I give it a week or so it could cool off and set up a future date with all of my friends where Josh can hopefully make a better impression? Should I be concerned that this is how he will act in mixed company moving forward? Or should I consider leaving him? How would you handle the situation? A couple thoughts on this. One, real quick, and then we'll get to Aaron here. But one, if you said your friends drink a lot. So they'll be a lot more empathetic than you would imagine. They've probably had some pretty embarrassing moments themselves. And so I do think damage control to a point. And just say, hey, you know, Josh was pretty embarrassed about yesterday. You know, it does suck because you only get one chance at a first impression. But if Josh is someone you really, really like and is going to stick around, this will just be one of those stories that you joke about.
The first time you met Josh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah. Josh was so blacked out. Ha, ha, ha. It's not going to be, it's really not that big of a deal. And I think you could get in front of this and just say, hey, you know, Josh isn't usually like that. And that's the other thing. From Josh's standpoint, if he was trying to make a good impression, he may have been really nervous. If these are your friends of long standing, he might have been really nervous, and the guys start taking shots, and he said they're big drinkers. He wants to get in on the guy time, and he starts pounding shots. I get it.
He's not used to that.
And he's not used to it. So I don't think you need to – I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal ultimately, but I would try to get in front of this and – I think sending out a group text or something like that of like, oh, I'm really sorry. Josh is embarrassed. Please send him a Venmo request for the window. He doesn't usually drink like that. Can we set up a future date for us all to do something so you could see the other side of Josh? Because he is a great dude. I think that's what I would do. Aaron, you got anything to add or maybe a different opinion there?
No, I agree 100%. I think the window thing is pretty important, though. Maybe not just a Venmo request. Like, if you really want him to make up for it, have him call contractors around, find someone.
Yeah,
because if your window's cracked, it's annoying to deal with. It's not just a money thing, you know.
That's a good point.
Again, I don't think this is something you break up with someone over.
If it's a repeat occurrence that happens over and over, then you got a situation on your hands.
But maybe he was nervous.
Yeah,
maybe he was nervous. And if it's the Niners, he was excited. And then he was sad that they lost.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that's a really great point. If you're Josh, you reach out and say, hey, I'm happy to reach out to some contractors and kind of schedule some stuff for you guys and get some quotes. I'm really sorry. Right. I do think that's a good point. Let's move on, though, because we have a couple more to get to and we don't have a ton of time. This one is sending flowers. Good afternoon and happy Valentine's Day week, guys and gals. Who celebrates this for a whole week, you psycho? I'm just joking. But just like relax.
You might be roped into it right now, man.
Man. I wanted to get your take on sending a coworker flowers. I have been at this company for 2 years, and one of my colleagues and I have been flirting pretty regularly since our office Christmas party this past year. I wanted to know if I should send her flowers for Valentine's Day at the office. I know that girls seem to love showing off their flowers that they get at work. Is this something you guys or Aaron have ever experienced or tried before? I think based on our text combos that she would be into it, but I wanted to get your guys' take before ordering the flowers, and I still have 24 hours before I have to confirm. Thanks for the feedback. Great show. Don't do that. I think it's pretty simple. Don't do that. If you don't know how it's going to be received, the answer is let's not find out, because there's way more risk than there is reward. Best case scenario, oh my God, these are so sweet. Do you want to go grab a drink after work? Worst case scenario, yo, what's up with Tom? That weirdo sent Diane flowers at work? They've never even gone on a date. What's up with that guy? You could be that guy, and it could be misinterpreted and go really, really bad, and everyone will be talking about you behind your back is the risk you are running, my friend. I would say just grow a pair and ask her out for happy hour. You want to grab a drink after work? Pretty straightforward. You got anything going on for V-Day? Me either. Let's grab a drink. Would you want to grab a drink with me? Boom. There you go. You got anything, Aaron?
Yeah, no. You could end up the office weirdo. It's too risky.
Yeah, you've never gone out with her at all.
Yeah.
Saying, yeah, no, that's, yeah, what Jero said.
Yeah. All right. Last one. This one's quick. Bad Valentine's date. Yo, TBP, former D2 lacrosse player checking in here.
Hey.
Shout out to our athletes here. Last year, a mutual friend set me up with this young lady who was very, very attractive. All right. Thanks for letting us know you had a hot date. We went out for happy hour. See, this guy knows what's up, which led to more drinking.
Hey.
We accidentally skipped dinner and kept drinking.
Hey.
She then ended up puking in the Uber, then all over my house.
Ooh.
When I woke up, all that was left behind was towels of puke and a note that read, "I'm sorry." She then, I'm guessing out of embarrassment, blocked my number and ghosted me.
Oh.
Prior to puking, we were having a great time, so I was taken back by the fact that she went as far as to block me. This could happen to anyone, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But anyway, my question for you all is, what is your worst Valentine's date that you've had? Have you guys ever had any real bad ones?
I can't think of anything myself, no.
If you don't celebrate, you can't have a bad one.
Yeah, facts.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, stop being a sucker for this date, by the way. Don't go out to dinner. The prices are jacked up with special menus. Don't do it. If you're going to do it the day before, the day after. Don't do it on V-Day.
If you really want to surprise her, cook her the dinner.
That's right.
Be the one that does it all.
Yeah.
Have a table set with candles and flowers in there. Have it all ready when she gets home. That's how you do it, my guys. All right? Don't go out. Be inside, okay?
I'm with you. Yeah. And then the other thing, and that's what I'm doing. The other thing... I have it. This was a listener wrote this in a flip side some time ago. I asked for worst Valentine's Day dates, and this will live in my brain forever. And I know I'm only going to leave you like 2 minutes, Brad. I'm sorry, but I think this needs to be said. This gal wrote in that this guy she was seeing at the time was house sitting for his parents. Nice loft, San Francisco, gorgeous flat, whatever. They decided to do Valentine's Day at the parents' house. She went over there. What he didn't tell her is that the parents had cats, even though they're in a kennel because he wasn't going to watch them or whatever. And she was violently allergic to them.
Ooh.
They started fooling around, and she got cat hair down there. And it got so swollen, she had to go to the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
No. So that sounds like, to me, the worst Valentine's Day
that, is bad.
That I've heard. So I just wanted to share that. Aaron, thank you as always. Excellent work on the Wasted Management Tour, and we will talk to you next week.
Later, guys.
Later. Sorry to put you in this position.
All good.
You got 2 minutes.
Sounds good. Congratulations to AJ Gamble as she becomes the leader and girls basketball at 14:25, and she's only a junior. She broke the record for girls basketball at PV, and she's only a junior. And
what's her name again?
AJ Gamble.
AJ Gamble.
So she's got one more year. Congratulations. Going into this week, PV and Chico were facing off, and PV actually had an opportunity to take 5 out of the 6 first place for basketball. So freshman through varsity for both boys and girls. And they needed victories through all three for the girls, all three for the boys. And it happened. A full sweep. PV got it.
Wow.
Big last second shot for JV, and PV takes the victory.
Damn it, Chico, step up.
I know. 0-6 this past weekend, but you know, we have playoffs, so the season still will continue. The big news story about that is with that PV victory over the